You're listening to the Permaculture Princess podcast. This is episode number 7. Today, I am introducing you to the person who first told me about permaculture, the person who has supported all of my varied ideas and dreams, the father of my baby girl, and the love of my life, my husband, Danny Thompson. He is the brains and the body behind our Wisconsin homestead, and while there are a million topics he and I could cover, today we are fulfilling a request that we have gotten many times, and we're talking about our intentional community with my parents. Yes, you heard that right. My parents, my husband, and my daughter all reside under the same roof. So stick around to find out more about how and why we comfortably and happily live with my parents. Welcome to the Permaculture Princess podcast. This is a space for lifting up elegant sustainability and abundant practicality. I'm a lover of edible landscaping, plant-based nutrition, home remedies, green smoothies, and all things fitness. I am your host, Andrea Thompson, and as a personal trainer, wellness enthusiast, homesteader, mother, and Christ follower, this podcast acts as a platform for sharing actionable advice for a more abundant landscape and life. So this is just a test, so talk in the voice that you'll talk so
ask,
I can hear it.
Ask me a question then, so that
what
I can respond to
are
it.
You grateful for today?
Podcasting.
Okay, you want that? Okay, you're not going to be able to drink.
I could Wim Hof, though.
All right, we're going to get started. All right. Well, hello, Danny. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on this podcast. I am so excited to interview you. I know that you're probably equally as excited.
Ecstatic.
So why don't we just jump right in? And I just want you to start off with a short introduction about who you are, maybe how we met, and what you're up to these days.
I'm Danny Thompson, your husband, and I am into a little bit of everything. I am a jack of all trades, so anything that pops up, I'm quick to learn, and YouTube's my best friend and greatest enemy at times, too.
How'd we meet?
Quick version. We met in Montana. You were headed out to, were there already to help your aunt with natural cancer therapy, and I was coming back to Montana after beating cancer. We had kind of a starting point, and neither of us were looking for a relationship, so it was great to kind of try to figure out our identity, where we were at the time. One thing led to another.
All right, so our listeners probably have 1,000 more questions about any number of areas, but today we are delving into our intentional community with my parents. And I know you've often said, I can't call it that because we're just living with my parents, but I think it's absolutely an intentional community. And so we want to answer some questions on that, but I specifically want your perspective because I think people are okay with my perspective, but it's with my parents, right? So I'm going to have a little bit of a bias, but it's with your in-laws, which adds a certain amount of drama, or it's, you know, it makes it seem extra cool or extra scary, depending on how you look at it. So I want to get your opinions today. So I just wanted to talk about why we first decided to move in with my parents, a little bit of the history, because we didn't start living with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, first, I'd like to agree with all the listeners that think that you have a bias, because you do love your parents. But that's just something that made this easier. Another thing is, when we moved back to Wisconsin from Montana, I had the opportunity to stay with your parents then as I was finding work in between Madison and Milwaukee, and it was a convenient place to learn, at that time, potentially my in-laws, and a great place to stage where I was finding work. That worked out well. Initially, the biggest part that comes up to me is my health. I was doing construction remodeling with a company in Milwaukee, and we were living there right after we got married. And then I got peripheral neuropathy, and at that time couldn't even understand why I had the pain I did. It was something we were trying to figure out, and it got to where I wasn't able to work like I needed to. The pain was too much to hold an impact drill, which sounds ridiculous, but that's where I was at the time. At that point, we made the decision that our long-term goals were to have land where we could start enacting our permaculture techniques and expressing ourselves, and your parents wanted us to try to do that here. So they invited us, and we accepted at that point, like you say, kind of tentatively, thinking it might be, I mean, I was moving in with my in-laws. That sounds bad. That's just the connotation we have in our society. You're almost supposed to disagree with your in-laws at a certain point. And that's been a journey that has been a little hard for me. Not the part you'd typically think of not getting along with them, but just the communication required. I've never been a talker, so to develop that skill has probably been, it's always been my greatest deficit, but I think it's one of the things that I've enjoyed uncovering myself the most in living here.
That's cool. So when we first moved in, you kind of mentioned that we were hesitant. Is there anything else that you want to talk about as far as, like, what were your thoughts when we first moved in as far as whether you were nervous, excited, or do you feel like you covered that?
Yeah, I covered it generally, but I was excited for 6 acres to be able to have a garden and an orchard and a food forest and all these
water management and
put in some swales and rain collection and chickens, and it's all stuff that,
like, a playground.
When you think of a homestead, if you're the type of person that wants one, this was a perfect place for it. And our quarter acre lot in Milwaukee was not conducive to that. So I was excited for the opportunity in that, and I've kind of become the property manager here, and even that is a journey too, which I was nervous about. So your mom likes things very orderly, very clean. If we're going to have free-range chickens, we hope it rains every other day so it washes the chicken poop off the concrete. So I was nervous about how much I would actually be able to express, but where I've struggled with communication, your mom has struggled with new and completely foreign ideas to her and how she was maybe raised with their concept of farming, because she grew up on a farm.
I think it's been neat from, like, my perspective to see you guys complement each other, in the sense that, like, permaculture doesn't always come across very neatly. Like, it's not a beautiful system in the beginning. It can become beautiful once it's working the way it's supposed to, but in the beginning, it's a little haphazard almost. Like, there's the mulch here, and there's poop here, and there's some things growing here, but some things not growing here, and it doesn't look that pretty necessarily. And my mom comes from the background of, like, very manicured looking places. Like, she's always wanted things to look very neat, whether or not it was practical or useful. Like, she wanted it to look very nice. And so it's been neat to watch you guys run into that, because my mom will work hard to make things work well and look the way it's supposed to. And you have the background of wanting to, you know, have the water systems and have the garden and the food forest. And so you guys complement each other in this. Sometimes she can clean up around your edges a little bit, and all of a sudden things are starting to look a little bit better. And she's also helped us want to build chicken tractors or make a different home for our chickens. And obviously we are this mixture of permaculture where we're not doing it on a large scale. We have horses. Horses are not necessarily conducive to a perfect permaculture outline, and yet we love our horses. So we've found this happy medium where
we love our horses. Yeah.
But we've found a place where everybody fits. And my mom loves the chickens now. Like, she is probably one of the main ones communicating with the chickens, or at least being around the chickens. She's accepted things really well and found her own identity.
But
in
even
what
we're
with
doing. That, we're no longer free range, which on one part is our predator problem too. So it's a function stacking We've created a specific place for the chickens, and they've got a coop, and it looks pretty good most of the time, but even there I'm trying new ideas and stuff, and she's always keeping up with me, like, are those blue barrels gonna
Do they have a place?
Well, no, they're right now they're collecting sun to keep the feed warm.
But yeah, we definitely, just to like let our listeners know, we did free range our chickens for a full summer and lost so many to a fox or two or three. We had so many fox, like between, we have three neighbors between us that all had chickens, and this fox was like the bane of all of our existence. Like we'd call each other, he's out, bring your guns and bring your, like everybody get ready. And so I don't remember how many fox got killed in the process, but I think it was quite the battle. So yeah, we've definitely found a place to work with different personalities for sure. It's safe to say our intention when we first moved in wasn't necessarily to stay for a long duration. It was kind of to experiment almost, like experiment with some of our ideas on their property, get them set up, and then possibly look for our own land. So it was supposed to be a short stay, get your health figured out, get our ideas about permaculture figured out, and then look for land possibly. I mean, we really didn't have any ties anywhere. We were going to look for land out here or in Montana or in Tennessee. Like we didn't have necessarily a place where we wanted to stay. But could you talk a little bit about why we are starting to plant some roots and think about this as a long-term home and as a generational living system?
I think the first thing that stood out to me was that I had a mentor in your dad in a field that I'd wanted since a kid. I remember playing a game called Cash Flow with my aunts and uncles and cousins. And in that game, you could buy real estate for cheap and sell it. And like the goal was to get out of the rat race. And that brings me to the next point I want to make is I feel like we started our marriage well in that we didn't have debt coming into it, which is unheard of, but then we still plunged into the rat race and just, we didn't have debt, but we didn't have any capital either. So having a place to call home.
Sorry if you hear some background noises, that's because my baby girl just woke up, and in our intentional community, which is awesome, my mom can appease her for a little while we finish this interview. So
yeah, so Bud is a great mentor for me in a field that I wanted to get into,
which is real estate, buying and selling homes and dealing with property rentals.
He's always available in that regard, and we get a leg up in, we get to help each other, whether it's carpooling or buying groceries, even if it's not, even we're obviously eating the same amount of food as we would be, but the time in going to the grocery store, or like we get to share that responsibility, which is a time and relief.
Yeah, I can totally agree in that. Like I didn't realize how much money we were saving until we started looking at the budgets again. And you'd be surprised how much easier it is to buy in bulk. I mean, when you're feeding four, you're making larger meals. They're lasting. Sometimes they're lasting. You know, the Instant Pot is our best friend. And it just becomes something that, like, you're thinking for more than just yourself. And so let's say I make a meal. That means that three other people in the house didn't need to cook for those meals. Or if my mom makes a meal, or if my dad makes a meal, it just saves everybody time. Instead of all of us making our own meals and doing our own thing, like we're working together, and that happens with our food, it happens with the electrical bill, it happens with, like, I mean, just all of the areas that are saved. And for that matter, not only financially, but the amount of energy we are using, like our footprint on this planet is lessened because we don't have a whole nother house up and running with electricity and lights and heat, and we're using the same space. And it's a small change, maybe a small piece of the puzzle, but if every single person thought about how much they're using, how large their footprint is, that's why the tiny house movement is so amazing. Really, we're doing something very similar as the tiny house movement. We're saying, all right, we already have a larger house. Let's use all the space.
Another thing that's been nice in moving in is another peer, if you will. an accountability partner aside from your spouse, to have somebody else looking in and saying, you know, you should take a look at the way you do this. Because as a Christian, we are called to a higher standard. So growing into that man and woman that we want to be is a lot easier and harder in being told, hey, you're doing this wrong. Mm-hmm.
We have a check and balance.
Yeah,
like, we can check up on each other. And on top of that, like one of the things I've loved is how we can study together. Like when we open our Bibles or do worship, or like, it's not just your perspective and my perspective. There's other perspectives in the house. And I think it's neat to study together and to worship together. And it makes our faith stronger when we have to question each other and we have to say, why do you believe what you believe? And it's fun. It's fun studying. It's fun having that. You know, my heart goes out to those who aren't able to study with their family members, you know, like it's a really isolating feeling to not be able to talk about what God is teaching you with the people around you. So I can imagine that is one of the benefits too. And I've noticed even from, obviously, like from a daughter's perspective, my parents are aging. They're in their mid-60s and they are doing wonderfully. Like their health is strong. They're doing so well. But I think it's so interesting. Sometimes I'll tell people, oh, my parents live with us. And it almost gives off this idea like, oh, that's so sweet. You're taking care of your parents. And even though that's not the case, as they age, I want to take some of the burden off their shoulders. And that's what we're doing with helping with real estate. Like I've taken over the bookwork. You do a lot of the manual work and they're able to relax a little bit, to breathe a little easier, you know, because we're helping them in their work and they're helping us in our work. So well,
it's a mentorship program.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And it should be a relief on both sides. And I think in our communication with each other, our family powwows, that is the overarching theme. Everybody's happy. And not all the time. Sometimes it requires a conversation. But having a teachable spirit, being willing to be critiqued, that's probably our greatest asset. And whether we're good at it or not, we understand biblically that is our position, to be able to be told what somebody else thinks about what we do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it takes a lot of humility, you know, and it's not always easy. There's a lot of personality in it. So we talked about like the benefits, and obviously we see a lot of the benefits because we love it. We've been here almost 2 years and we love being here. We have really enjoyed our time and we are building an infrastructure for that relationship, our intentional community, to continue this way. But I do want to talk about some of the downfalls, some of the pitfalls, or some of the difficulties you kind of mentioned, obviously, like the communication and being told that maybe you're not doing something right, you know, like by all of us. Like all of us have different things that we're learning, or we butt heads and things, or and that will happen because we're people and we're human. But I do want to talk about some of the downfalls, or maybe potential downfalls that like people should be aware of.
I'm not sure it's a downfall, but what pops into my head is I sometimes get the feeling like I need to, like I'm not a man in the world. I don't have my own home. I'm not a leader to my family in some people's eyes. I think that's a hard thing to think. I'm keeping up with the Joneses in some respects in my head, and there's no reason for it. I'm happy with the life that I live. And so that's a mental battle that I have sometimes. Who am I? Have I given up my identity or my man card in living with my in-laws? And I have to say, no, I have two man cards now. Like it requires a lot of willpower to control your mind to say, no, I don't have all the right answers. I can be critiqued, and I don't deserve to have my own house, my own. But the downfall to it, aside from the mental battle that I go through from time to time, is maybe a lack of respect from some people. Just, they don't get it. Like, why would you, in lots of respects, I'm a perfectly capable person. I should be able to stand on my own two feet. And there's so much more that I can get done by not having to make my mortgage payment and everything on top of what is already necessary. It just gives more time. And going forward from here, I'm excited as we've, like you said, laid out a foundation in the last 2 years of being here. I'm excited for the future in the missions that we can go forward into our community to do. Because there has been some transition time here where we've needed to figure out how we work with each other and if it's going to work. And now that we've decided that it has, at least for the foreseeable future, I'm excited for how we can help others. And that's always been my biggest goal, is how do I give, whether it's time or energy or resources. We've built a foundation that's easier to grow from. And the responsibilities that we have, whether it's with the chickens or horses, having a multiple adult family makes it so much easier to spread out.
No, I completely agree. And, you know, this is a conversation you and I have had so many times, but nonetheless, it's still always encouraging to me to just be on the same page and to know we're in this together, and we see the benefits of it. Especially, like you said, talking about going into the future, first of all, you are one of the most generous people I've ever met. In fact, to my own frustrations sometimes, because Danny will constantly go out of his way to help others and will put his health on the line, will put his finances on the line, will put himself out to help others, and I'm kind of always drawing him back in. And yet, from a Christian perspective, I have been rebuked in that many times, like personally, not by Danny, but like personally in my own studies, all I keep hearing is that nothing is ours. Like, we're not supposed to be holding on or gripping anything. Not our finances, not our house, not our clothing, not our careers, not our education. Nothing is ours. And we're just supposed to be sharing and giving and loving. And I know it comes with kind of a hippie mentality of let's all just live in one place and like be a commune, but that's not what we're doing. And yet it's what God calls us to do in many ways. And so the ability that my parents have to travel, or that we have to travel, like if we needed to up and go somewhere, we could leave tomorrow and everything would be okay. Same thing with my parents. They could travel, and or we could maybe at some point, one of our dreams we've talked about is having a lifestyle center, having people be able to come and join us in our home and eat with us and learn how to work out and learn how to garden and learn how to do some of the things that we find so beneficial to our quality of life. We want to share that with people, and we have a place that offers that. And that is one of our dreams. And the other thing that I just can't get over is how amazing it is for Montana, our baby girl. She's almost 15 months and she gets to live with her parents and her grandparents. And I know there are people that struggle with that, but show me a place in the Bible where it was any different. You know, every single biblical example we have, like they're living generationally. You know, the Asian cultures, the Hispanic cultures, the African cultures, they live generationally. And we did something in our American culture and said, nope, you need to start your own. We need to compartmentalize every single family. Don't share anything. Don't get anything from each other. Have your own system. And we're supposed to be a loving culture. No, like we've taken a wrong turn somewhere. And I guess I don't want to come off as judging people that don't live generationally. Like, I get it. I get that there are difficulties in it, and I get that it doesn't work for everyone. But at the same time, it always feels like we're trying to defend it. And I wish that wasn't the case. I wish it wasn't so odd that people were like, you guys must not be like, I constantly want to be like, we could live on our own. Like, why do we feel like we have to defend it?
Mm-hmm. I think the biggest thing I hear is that people don't get along with their parents. They can't see eye to eye. And that brings me back to the communication thing. Like, we need to be able to talk about it and be okay with being individuals while we're part of a community. And that's something that we go through in our spiritual walk too. Like, there's things your dad gets into that we don't agree, or we don't think are important enough to consume our lives. That's part of living with each other. Like, you have to be able to understand that each person is still their own individual.
For sure. Well, this has been fun. I love having you on, and I hope that you'll come on more often. But could you end by talking about what we have on the horizon and also some hopes for the future for us personally and also for kind of our culture, like the American culture, just where you think generational living should go?
I hope that we continue to be open-minded to the people around us and hearing their thoughts and concerns. That's what this has taught me the most. Whether you live with your family or not, understanding that you can have a relationship with a person without agreeing completely with what they say and believe. So I think that's something everybody can take with them no matter how you're living. And that's the politics, left and right, conservative, liberal, everything's tearing us apart. And we don't need to be defined by that. We can love each other as children of God, first and foremost. That's what I would love to see go forward. For us here right now, we're putting an addition on the house. We're bringing in Andrea's grandma. And that I am excited about. We get to hopefully bring joy to the latter end of her life. Get her close to family where she feels comfort and peace and some joy. And getting to see little ones run around and see her daughter and granddaughter and great-granddaughter all on a daily basis, I think is a beautiful thing. And just like with everything else, she obviously has come from a different era, a different way of thinking, but that's just going to help us grow even more to understand other elderly, to be able to help them. And that's, like I said, that's my goal, is finding ways to be able to help people. And if we have a testimony helping your grandma through whatever difficulties, whether it's electronic or technical or whatever it is,
or even spiritual, you know, like it doesn't, it's not always
right
tangible.
Just being able to help people where they're at. I think living together gives us a better foothold for being able to lift others up.
I think you're totally right. And I think that is exactly the point I want to end on, is that everybody can have different opinions and do different things with their life. But you're right. Together, we can do more.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the theme of our wedding. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And that was kind of our driving quote, if you will, behind even us deciding to join our lives and to be married. And just now I'm thinking of it, wow, it's grown. It's not just our marriage. It's grown into something more. Like, we can do more together. We can do more as an intentional community.
Mm-hmm. It brings me back to the Church of Acts. They sold everything they had to come together so that they could push the work of Christ forward. And in one generation, they reached the world. So if we can have the same spirit living in us that removes all selfishness, all feeling of we deserve anything, we can get rid of that thought and just be focused on other people's needs. That's what this can teach us if we choose to learn it.
Well, thank you so much for being on my podcast. I am excited to hear more from you in the future.
Yeah, we heard that before.
All right, so I will let you go back to building the addition. Thanks again.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for listening to today's podcast with my husband, Danny. I am so grateful for his transparency and his ability to talk about the things going on in our lives and the way he just supports my goals and my dreams in being a part of this podcast. And I ask that as you go out throughout your day, that you would consider some of the things we talked about. Maybe it's not exactly time for you to start an intentional community with your in-laws. I just ask that you would consider what you can do to make a smaller footprint, not only on the planet, but to combine your life with the lives around you. How can you help your family and your friends, and how can you create a more abundant life for not only yourself, but for the people around you? I would argue that an intentional community is one of the ways to do that. So thanks again for hearing our perspectives and listening in on our tiny little crazy intentional community that is growing. And I ask that you would go throughout your day and look for blessings and seek a more abundant life. Thanks for listening to the Permaculture Princess podcast. For show notes or more information, please visit www.permacultureprincess.com or find me on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, or Pinterest at Permaculture Princess. If you have found any value from this podcast, I would love you to subscribe so you can get our updates and also consider leaving a review. I am often fueled on words of affirmation and I greatly appreciate your feedback. My hope is that you find blessings throughout your day and that you discover a more abundant landscape and life.